can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacy.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And today, our first movie is Life of the Party, the new Melissa McCarthy movie.
Yes. So, again, from the previews that I've seen, she gets divorced, she goes to college.
Right.
Antics ensue.
Yeah. And continuing the trend of the movies we watch for this remind me of movies I haven't seen, this sort of made me feel like it was the older divorced woman version of The House Bunny, which I haven't seen.
Okay, I haven't seen it either.
It's that same sort of thing because her daughter is in a sorority, mm-hmm. and so she tends to be running around the college with the sorority girls from her daughter, and they all have their own little quirks, and yeah.
Right.
So yeah. So in this film, Melissa McCarthy plays Deanna. I don't even remember her last name, but it doesn't matter because she's getting divorced.
Unless she doesn't change it back, but...
Well, she might not, because evidently she and her husband met at the college her daughter is in her senior year for, and they go to drop her off at her sorority, even though she lives like 22 minutes away, as they say, so yes, that's totally necessary. but as they're going to leave, her husband tells her he wants a divorce, and he's been seeing a woman who's a realtor. And so she sort of doesn't know what to do with this, goes to her parents' house, is really upset because when they got married, she was pregnant with her daughter, but he made, it's not quite clear how much he made her drop out of college because they could only afford one person to go to college at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so he went to college and finished. She still had 1 year to go. And now that they're getting divorced, everything's in his name, so she really doesn't have anything. So she decides, I should go back and finish my senior year and get my degree.
Because it works that way. Right? I'm sure all of her credits are going to transfer, right? 20 years later.
I'm sure there is a statute of limitations on that, but sure. There's a lot. It's just sort of just go with it.
Right.
So when she goes to explain this to her daughter, she meets her daughter's sorority friends, one of whom has a weird backstory of was in a coma for 8 years and is now a freshman at the college, but somehow we keep seeing her in one of Melissa McCarthy's archaeology classes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just sort of the, yeah, but if you're a senior and she's a freshman, I don't know that you'd be in the same archaeology class if you only had the 1 year left before your degree. You should definitely be in more advanced archaeology classes, but whatever, continue, just go.
Right. Well, some of those credits maybe didn't transfer. I don't know.
Right.
My question is, why does Melissa McCarthy look like a mom from the 80s in this movie?
Because, yeah.
What is up with her outfits?
Because that's clearly that's the only way moms can be dorky and unwith it is to look like they're from the 80s.
I mean, yeah.
Although I had a hard time when she first shows up because in the first scene she's wearing a pink shirt. Sweatshirt that says World's Proudest Mom, and I immediately jumped to the SNL skit she just did as World's Proudest Stepmom, and I was like, I'm not sure where I am right now. Wait, what am I watching? I have to get with it. I have to figure it out. But yeah, so she's going through this divorce. Her best friend is played by Maya Rudolph.
Right, who also looks like a reject from the
80s. Yes, I don't know. Maybe this was supposed to be the, I don't know. But then she goes to a party with her daughter and her friends because this mom, who's clearly proven to be super embarrassing to you, is having a tough day. So, of course, what does the daughter do? We have to take her to a party. Sure. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. But at this party, she meets a fellow student named Jack. They bond over wine, although I was completely confused by this because I thought she actually asked if they had like have some sort of wine at the party. And he's like, oh, no, we didn't get that. And then I thought he was being sarcastic when they were talking about wine. But no, they evidently actually both really like wine, as this later comes up. So she gets with him. And they...
This is the mom?
Yes. The mom gets with this 20-something named Jack.
Hey, go for it.
And so both she and her daughter the next morning do the walk of shame out of the fraternity house together.
That's awesome.
And she at first is like, I can't have this relationship with Jack because I'm literally old enough to be your mother, but somehow can't help herself and keeps having sex with him, including in the library, which was in the trailer, with her telling Maya Rudolph that over the phone. And then, yeah, so there's a lot of antics. There's a sort of mean girl who looks a lot like a young Chrissy Teigen. Not Chrissy Teigen, and not Chrissy Teigen's daughter, but looks kind of like a young Chrissy Teigen.
Well, Chrissy Teigen's daughter is only like two, right?
Well, she just had a boy, so I don't even know. But so there's a situation with her and that girl who keeps showing up at the different parties and doesn't like her because she's uncool. And it's just like, oh, my God, could you think of any other insults, really? And just there's this whole thing with her roommate because for some odd reason she's living on campus. Because you have to have the full class. I don't know.
Well, she has no money, apparently, or no home.
It's
or, I don't
so
know.
Weird.
No credit.
It's supposedly for a while her husband is paying for her to go to school as part of their, like, as we're getting divorced, I'll keep financially supporting you or something. So she decides to move onto campus. She has this roommate who's a little strange. She kind of feels like the guy who lived in the basement from Real Genius who walked in through the closet. Like, she never leaves the room. She doesn't have the light on. And like, how are you even a student here? You don't seem to ever go to class. You're always in this room being a strange weirdo. So what?
You know, I like Melissa McCarthy. I think she's hilarious. I want better for her than the movies that she does.
And I'm wondering if maybe she's one of those people who's just funnier with an ensemble.
Yeah.
Because I haven't actually seen any of her other solo films, but I didn't want to. Like, I saw the trailers for them, and I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
And I was not even that big a fan of her Bridesmaids performance, even though I know everyone loved it.
I mean, parts of it
were funny.
I think she was funny. I just didn't like the role.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, I loved her in Gilmore Girls, and I miss her terribly from Gilmore Girls. And I'm just like, I love you, but I don't like your solo films, and I'm not quite sure what to do with that. And just, there's the only time I laughed at this was a dinner scene where she's gone out with Maya Rudolph and her husband, and then there's this other couple, but it's not quite clear who they are. And then Jack, the boy she's been sleeping with, shows up because he works at this restaurant.
Oh.
And then we get a reveal about his story, which I won't spoil because...
So she's a fifth wheel and then Jack shows up although he works there. But
yeah,
I mean, that's funny.
And then somebody else shows up and it's just like, that is the only part I laughed at because it was kind of, good for you.
Now, why is Christina Aguilera in this movie?
Spoiler. That's actually a spoiler.
Oh, well, she's in the credits. That's all I was asking.
Don't read the credits before you see the movie, people.
I do it all the time. Never mind. She's not in it. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Christina Aguilera is in it because she... So she goes to, I don't even remember what reason they went to this other party where she accidentally eats a weed chocolate.
Oh.
Which leads her to then she wants to originally sort of apologize and or just mend the fences with her ex-husband or something, so decides to go to his wedding because he's getting married that night, and that's why they like took her out to try and get her mind off it.
Mm-hmm.
But as she's walking in, she sees these posters, which are actually kind of mean because like one of them says like new wife, new life, and it's just like, oh, geez, thanks. So she and three of the girls are walking into this. They're like, you know what, I wanted to mend the fences, but A, I'm high, and B, I'm pissed, so let's just completely trash the reception room. And so, because of that, he stops paying for all her stuff, and so she doesn't have enough for tuition, and so they put on a party saying that Christina Aguilera is going to come to raise money, because it's the same night as a Christina Aguilera concert.
Okay.
So, yeah. Super spoiler, Christina Aguilera is in the film. But yeah, it's just this, there was so much in that they were trying to be funny. And I just was like, almost didn't laugh at anything.
That's unfortunate.
There was one moment at the beginning where I laughed, not because it was funny, but just sort of a, oh, wow, didn't see that coming. Because she and Maya Rudolph, when they first learn about the divorce, decide to go play racquetball while drinking, like, mini wine coolers or something. Yep. It's a strange scene. They're playing racquetball, and there's these two older men outside the court who clearly want the court and are waiting for them. And they're drinking, and Maya Rudolph's evidently had, like, 7 already or something like that. And so Melissa hits the ball really hard, and it bounces off the wall and hits Maya Rudolph in the crotch. And so Melissa, like, constantly apologizes, and she's like, well, you should really apologize to my vagina. And so Melissa does bend down and apologize. She's like, I'm very sorry. And then Maya Rudolph, like, prompts her, Stacy. And she's like, what? It's like, my vagina's name is Stacy. And I'm just like, okay, so I did not expect to hear my own name in this film at all, but to be the name of a vagina. Am I in reality right now? what is going on?
I'm sorry that she named her vagina after you. I mean, I doubt it's after you, but still, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to assume it's spelled with a Y, just because.
Let's go with that.
Most people don't ever spell their name like I do, with just a plain I.
Or even an IE, and it still wouldn't be you.
That is always the case. Like, when they, you know, ask me how I spell my name, I'm like, oh, it's Stacey. It's like, oh, with the Y? No, I. Oh, IE? No, just an I. Just an I. I can't explain that. That was my mother's decision. I'm perfectly fine with it. I actually like having the eye, because not a lot of people have it. So, yeah. But anyways, yeah. By that point, I could tell this was probably not going to be that funny a movie, because Maya Rudolph has come in as the best friend, and you could kind of tell this is supposed to be sort of funny, and I'm just like, not that funny.
Right. I also want better for Maya Rudolph. I mean...
Right.
These are two incredibly talented women.
I don't know what's going on with these films. And it was written by Melissa and Ben Falcone,
okay,
who also directed it, and I believe that's her husband, if I'm not mistaken.
That one I don't know, but I can check that out for
but
you.
But I believe they've worked together before, if it's not her husband, but I think it is. And it's just like, maybe you need someone else to work with, or someone else to help you write the scripts, or something, because it's just,
yeah, because if she's writing it, and I still want better for her, that, you know, that you're, she's not doing herself any favors,
right? I don't know. And it's just like, they couldn't quite make up their mind. Coma Girl, which is actually kind of how she's, I don't even remember her name. her daughter's name is oh crap, it starts with a C, but I get confused because there's like two of them that start with a C, and I got confused which one's which.
Yes, that is her husband.
Yes.
Okay.
And then one of the girl's name is Debbie, and I forget, I don't think I ever learned the fourth girl's name, and then there's Coma Girl. Coma Girl is, like, her backstory is she was in a coma for years, but then she kind of seems psychotic at sometimes, because at one point, when they meet the evil Chrissy Teigen girl at a party, she's like, I will break your face and no one will notice you, or no one will recognize you, and I'm just like, what the heck? I mean, fine, yeah, she's being mean, but that is, like, taking it up to, like, 11 really quickly there. What is the matter with you?
This sounds like a very, very bizarre movie.
I mean, it's not bizarre, it's just not funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I can tell you were trying to do some funny bits here, but they're not funny. Like, at one point, they have an 80s party. Because,
oh, that explains that outfit. Okay. I'm glad there
really
was really...
want to have an 80s party? People who may not have even been born in the 20th century? But anyway, so they go, and Melissa, yeah, is wearing that outfit. And they have a dance-off, because of course you do in the 80s. Movies and 80s together must always equal dance-off.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, when that dance-off starts, because the song starts playing, and Melissa McCarthy's like, oh, I know this one. And I'm like, thinking in my head, it's an 80s party. Don't you know, like, all of them? Why do you only specifically know this one when we've been here for how long and how many songs? Like, you know this one specifically? This? Really? I'm just... Yeah, that so much is not believable of this. And then even when I'm like, okay, skip it, the believableness, it would be fine if it was ridiculous to the level of funny. But it's just sort of ridiculous to the level of, oh, you tried.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're just really crazy gung-ho Melissa McCarthy fan, by all means support her, but also, you know, help her to figure out how to get a better writing, directing partner or something.
Yeah, although really, how do you tell your husband that? That's a different podcast. Right. That would be our relationship podcast.
On that note, we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts television podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts television podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. Our second movie is Power Rangers, the newer version.
Newest-ish?
Is it?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's probably been a new series of Power Rangers since this movie came out, just because there's like a gazillion of them.
Yes. You know, I never watched Power Rangers.
Really?
Yeah, it was a little, I guess, after my time. I've already said I'm old, so everyone knows.
I was a child when Power Rangers came out, and I actually couldn't remember much about it, except that I wanted to be the Pink Ranger, not the Yellow Ranger, because the Yellow Ranger didn't have a skirt, so I thought it was actually a boy. And I think in the like original clips they used from the actual Japanese show, it might actually be a guy. Hmm. But when we brought it to America, we're like, we need more than one girl in this group.
The Yellow Power Ranger isn't still Asian, is she?
No. Well,
thank you, because that was wrong.
Well, they changed that even in the original. So when they first started, the Yellow Power Ranger was Asian and the Black Power Ranger was black.
Right.
But then those people didn't re-sign the contract, and it's not clear on whose side that was. So then the Yellow Power Ranger became black and the Black Power Ranger became Asian.
Sorry.
And so that's how they have it in the 1990s movie.
But the Pink Power Ranger is still a girl.
The Pink Power Ranger is still a girl. The Yellow Power Ranger is still a girl. I'm just going to spoil this right now. The Green Power Ranger does not show up in this one, but if there is a sequel, will likely be there. Mm. So, yeah. But they all keep their same names, or at least some of their same names, because the two black and yellows obviously had two different names. But they all have the names of whichever of the 1990s Power Ranger people. So the pink one is still Kimberly. The red one is Jason. The blue one is Billy, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm impressed that you know that. I didn't even know they had names. Besides their colors.
You didn't know they had... Well,
I'm sure they have names, but I didn't know their names. I just identified them by their color.
So, like, yeah, I watched the show, and then I must have seen the movie at some point when I was a kid and totally didn't remember it. And so watched the 1990s movie when I was, like, 20-something. It was just like, oh, my God, this is... Wow, the puns. Oh, okay, all the terrible... Okay, stop. Like, all the terrible puns, which thankfully, amongst other things this movie changes, we get rid of. I think there is, like, one pun from a Power Ranger in here, and that's it. And I was just like, oh,
well, that's nice.
Thank you.
You know, they actually did a good job on the trailer for this movie, because I did see the trailer in the theater. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was there with my husband, and we were both kind of like, oh, so this looks sci-fi. What's going on? And then all of a sudden the Power Rangers, and then we were both like, nope, we're out. But they did, you know, they sucked us in initially.
Right. Yeah. So there, it's a reboot.
It's updated.
Something. At least. Yeah. I guess it's a reboot because it's taking the original. So the villain in this is played by Elizabeth Banks, and it's still Rita Repulsa, if you remember from the 1990s one. And they still live in Angel Grove, and they're still teenagers, but the way they get their powers is a little different, because evidently the original Power Rangers were aliens.
Mm.
And they came,
of course they were.
Of course they were. And they came to Earth looking for the Zeo crystal, which threw me off, because I'm pretty sure Power Rangers Zeo was like one of the series. And then Rita sort of turned bad. Rita evidently was a Power Ranger, which kind of throws me off because that means there were six. But then when we get to the spaceship where Zordon is, there's only five little places for Power Rangers to be. So I'm like, this team was always going to fail because someone was always going to feel like an outsider if you've only got five places for six Rangers. Just saying. That was all on you, but whatever. So they have this fight and they sort of fail, but they don't want Rita to get the crystal. So Zordon somehow has a meteor sent to Earth, and that's supposedly the meteor that wiped out the dinosaurs. And that's why the Power Rangers swords are dinosaurs, because they take after the most powerful thing, which when they came down were dinosaurs.
Bryan Cranston is Zordon?
He is.
Did I just ruin something again? Because dang, Bryan, don't you, I feel like you could have better movies than this.
Well, yeah, but I also feel that kind of, I remember someone, and I think it's in another film podcast, said that Bryan Cranston is one of those, like, I think it's 27%ers or something, where he just automatically makes a movie 27% by being better in it.
Oh, good. Okay.
And it kind of feels like that. It's like, as until we got to him as Zordon, and I didn't recognize him when Zordon was evidently the original Red Power Ranger, which we see in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't recognize him then because he's an alien, and so it's kind of hard to notice. But then when we get to the Zordon, who's just the floaty face, then I can recognize it somehow better. And I'm just like, oh, well, hey, I mean, I was already sort of in with this film, but okay, I'm slightly more interested now. Hi, Bryan Cranston.
So, yeah. This film just got 27% better.
Right, what exactly. So in this film, they start off with Jason, who will become the Red Ranger, pulling a school prank on, I guess, the rival high school whose mascot is the bull. So he's putting a cow in their locker room. But then the cops come and he decides the smart thing there is to run away in his car, including he backs his car up into a cop car. And I'm like, dude, you just raised your charges, man. You think you're going to get away? Are you kidding? And he doesn't. And he gets caught and he gets a ankle bracelet put on. And along with that ankle bracelet, he has to go to Saturday detention.
Oh, and so then, I think I know where you're going with this. Okay.
At Saturday detention, he meets Billy, who is, we later find out, on the spectrum and is a super nerd. And we later find out got put into detention because he blew up his lunchbox.
Mm.
And then Kimberly is also in detention because she evidently sent a picture of her friend, which may or may not be naked. We don't ever see it, but it's a picture that wasn't supposed to be sent, I guess, to her boyfriend, and he told her she was mean for doing that, and so she punched him.
Oh.
Kimberly's backstory is a little weird in this, but supposedly it's just supposed to be, oh, we all feel, like, misunderstood, and life sucks, and whatever, but we're in detention, and someone is a jock, and someone is, like, the popular cheerleader. She's literally a cheerleader, and someone is a nerd, and I was like, why are this is the Breakfast Club, right? Like, what's going on? And then when we later meet Zach and Trini, who are the Black and Yellow Ranger, Zach is like sleeping in an abandoned train car near the rock quarry that we go to. Oh. And Trini is evidently this sort of like outsider who does yoga at the rock quarry and doesn't really talk to anyone. And I was like, this is the Breakfast Club. You've got the right. Jock and the nerd and the popular girl and the kind of crazy criminal guy and the outsider girl.
Totally.
It's the Breakfast Club with superpowers.
Yep.
What? Wait a minute. So
I actually maybe now want to see it. No, I'm kidding.
It wasn't okay. It's not anywhere near as bad as the 90s one. I don't know if that says a lot, but so anyways, Billy knows a way to turn to trick Zach's ankle monitor into thinking he's at home when he's not. And so
how convenient.
Yes. Well, Billy's a super nerd. He can do everything technology, evidently. So because of that, Zach agrees to drive him out to the rock quarry in Billy's mother's van. It's not clear why Billy couldn't drive himself, but whatever. So
he's too nerdy. He doesn't have a driver's license.
Right.
I don't know.
Or because he's on the spectrum and so he doesn't handle things well, maybe. I don't know. It's not clear why Billy can't drive himself, but he needs Zach to drive him. So he goes out to the rock quarry where Trini is doing yoga and Zach is sleeping in a rail car and Kimberly is out near there diving into a lake, because of course they are. And Billy decides, hey, I've been digging out here with my dad who's dead, so I need to keep digging to sort of keep the memory of my father alive, but I need to go deeper, so let me blow up this wall in the rock quarry. And by blowing it up, finds the sort of power, they call them coins, but they look sort of like gems with gold edging that Zordon had buried so that Rita couldn't get them.
It's just, I love when you get to explain completely nonsensical things.
I mean, the original thing was teenagers with things that allow them to morph, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I mean,
with robot dinosaur people who fight putties and what have you.
This
was already nonsensical.
Teenage Power Rangers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, the 90s just gave us so many gems,
Teenagers need to feel empowered, too. We should be all-encompassing with our empowering movies. Why does it always have to be the adults who go off and get superpowers?
Sure.
And then now we need power. I don't want superpower toddlers. Never mind. But anyway, so they find these five coins and they each get one. And of course, the coins correspond with their colors.
Of course.
And then they find, these crazy coins have given us superpowers because we should all literally be dead after this one event. And we're not. And we need to go back to the rock quarry to figure out what's going on. And so they go back and they're immediately like, hey, I think I maybe have super strength or whatever. I'm not quite sure what's going on. Let me try and do this like 50-foot jump over a 100-foot gorge.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because I might have superpowers.
Right? I immediately know. Like, I was like, you've never done that before and nothing in your life prior to last night suggests you should ever be able to.
Shouldn't you start with something a little smaller?
Right? But like, so they're trying to catch up with Trini, who's still very outsidery and so doesn't want to talk to them. And so she jumps the gorge. And Kimberly's like, hey, I'm just trying to talk to you. And so Kimberly jumps the gorge after them. And she's like, yes, of course. Sure. And so Billy tries to jump last and doesn't quite make it and falls down the gorge, which leads to a pool of water. And so he's fine. And he's like, hey, you guys should come down here and check this out. But my thought is, okay, but you don't know how to get out of this gorge once you're down. Fine, you can jump really high, but you don't know how to get out of this gorge. But by going to this pool of water and somehow swimming down the bottom of it, through it, under the pool of water, because, you know, this is science and magic and what have you. So under the pool of water somehow is a cave that doesn't have water in it where they find the spaceship where Alpha is.
Oh.
And Alpha has been waiting for millions and millions of years for someone to find the power coins so they can be the Power Rangers again. But when Zordon had the meteor sent to Earth, he was destroyed. So Alpha somehow put his consciousness into the ship.
Okay. So, right. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But Rita is still alive. And somehow we know that even though none of us has seen Rita for millions of years and nothing has happened in those millions of years, but Rita is still alive and still wants the Zeo Crystal and will come back. So we need these new teenagers to become the Power Rangers to stop her. And so they go to Zordon to train how to become the Power Rangers because unlike, and actually I have no idea how it started in the show because I was too young then. But unlike in the show where they just can automatically morph, they have to somehow figure out how to morph in this film. And they don't quite figure it out. And then we get more things where they like sit around talking to each other. And I was like, it's the Breakfast Club all over again. We're talking about the things that are problems. And oh my God. I was just like, seriously. We need like a dancing scene. We don't get a dancing scene.
Oh.
But yeah.
Oh, come on. They could have given us a dancing scene.
Right? Yeah. No, what the heck? Power Ranger movie people?
I guess we got it in Life of the Party, so we didn't get it in this one.
Okay, anyways. but so, yeah. So they've updated a lot in this movie. The Zords are clearly updated, but I actually have a hard time with these new Zords figuring out what dinosaur they're supposed to be.
Oh, they're ambivalent dinosaurs?
Well, the pink one is still clearly a pterodactyl, and the red one is a T-Rex. But then I'm not sure what the blue one is, or the yellow one, or the black one. Although one of them, I believe, is supposed to be a saber-toothed tiger, and I think one is supposed to be a rhinoceros.
A triceratops?
A triceratops. And then I actually have no idea what the third one is, but I can't tell from looking at it, and you don't get too clear of a picture for it what they're supposed to be. But yeah, Rita comes. She has this a thing with gold, where she's taking all the gold in town to make the staff out of gold so that she can then call forward this huge giant creature out of gold so that then she can find the Zeo Crystal. It's a multi-step plan.
I do that every morning before breakfast.
Right? I always have my multi-step plans of world domination and or destruction.
You have to.
Yeah. I always have several going at one time just in case the first one doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't... No, the best things about this film, no puns, the 27% from Bryan Cranston. I will actually give like at least 8% also for Elizabeth Banks, even though I don't quite know what they were trying to do with this version of Rita. But she's clearly, you know, going for it in the character and having a bit of fun with it. So, okay, fine. Whatever. So this film comes out to maybe 30-something% of okayness. The outfits they wear are mm-hmm. sort of updated, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure why, because they're now with like all these sort of armor pieces that actually, if you didn't know which Rangers were guys and girls, you might not be able to tell until they take off their masks mm-hmm. because they have like breast pieces. So it looks like they're all girls kind of. And I was like,
interesting.
Okay. But they don't need armor. Like in the original, and actually I think like most of the Power Rangers series until like this century, they were just in sort of spandexy suits, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And that was fine. But in this one, they actually have like superpowers and the ability to like jump gorges and survive train wrecks and all this other stuff. You, of like, I think all the Power Rangers, don't actually need armor. And this is the one thing where we actually put armor on your suits. Just why? Okay, sure. But we've clearly tried to up things. We've upgraded the suits. We've kind of upgraded the Zords, even though I'm not sure what's going on there. And supposedly they don't have the ability to become Megazord until they get pushed into like a pit of lava. I don't know. But then like we also upgraded the bad guys, which are still called putties, even though they're like now made out of rocks. And I'm just like,
so they should be Rockies?
Right? I'm like, that's the opposite of the putties, which were literally like petal things that came up into form people. And I get we're trying to be like the cool new version of the Power Rangers. And I'm super glad that, you know, the script had decided, hey, these are not kids who just spend their time fighting and saying stupid things. Mm-hmm. But really, the script is better. The design is, I'm not sure what they were doing. So, yeah, it's not a terrible film. I don't know that you need to in any way spend money to see it. But if you are already spending money and it happens to, like, come on TV or something, you can watch it if you want.
won't stop you.
If you are a child of the age, it might be interesting to see this new version of the Power Rangers, especially if you haven't actually seen any version save for the original Jason, Kimberly, Billy, whatever group. If you missed all the like 20-something different Power Ranger sets in the middle, this might be interesting to see. And or if the idea of Breakfast Club with superpowers entices you, this might be interesting
this
to see.
This is the movie for you.
But other than that, I'm just like, I don't feel I would have missed anything if I had never seen this film. So I'm not sure if there will be a sequel. It's hinted that maybe there's a sequel. We start calling out Tommy's name and we see a green jacket, but then we don't see Tommy. And the green crystal is out there somewhere. And so I hope there's not a sequel. But who knows?
They left it open.
They did. Yes. Because all things now must plan for the sequels we hope will come to make more money. And on that very bright, not at all cynical note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.